Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Jeremy's View. I am your host, Jeremy. I am not The View because I'm not Whoopi Goldberg and I'm not Joy Behar, and I am not here to lie to you. I'm here to share the things that I find with everything that I observe, the truth, we'll call it. Tonight, I got a really good show lined up for you. We're going to talk about a lot of subjects tonight, but most importantly, we're going to have Marie Norris on live and uncensored, and she's going to share with you some news she recently got, and she was just recently accepted into the CMA. And when I seen that, I called her up right away and congratulated her and said, well, come back on the radio show and let's talk about that and her newest album that came out. I think it'll be a great show. I talked to her a little bit earlier on the phone, too. We had a very good conversation. I said, let's have this conversation on air because I want people to hear who you are. In addition to that, I'm going to talk about the New Mexico Governor Michelle Grisham's gun ban, 30-day gun ban, because issued a state of emergency based off of her feelings. Well, I'm sorry, but the Constitution doesn't work that way, Michelle. It's called the Second Amendment. Your right to bear arms shall not be infringed upon. There is no ifs, ands, buts, or hurt feelings over that. But we're going to get into that discussion here a little bit later. Also, Hunter Biden was just indicted today on 3 counts of gun charges. And that Biden family, what a bunch of criminals they are. Holy Lord. And Biden impeachment inquiry. There's some Republican House members that want to strip Kevin McCarthy of his position. And we got a lot to talk about. It's going to be interesting, to say the least. So this Biden administration is just, I can't believe people are still putting up with it, honestly, and haven't stood up or done anything. I mean, they've weaponized the DOJ, the FBI, all the way down to your local school boards, for God's sake. Their ideology that they're trying to put out, including transgenderism and socialism, and it's sickening to watch this country being hurt the way it is from a career politician that's never held a blue-collar job. And that's what happens, ladies and gentlemen, when you don't pay attention to politics. You hear people say, oh, I hate politics. Well, guess what? That doesn't change the fact that you continue to go to the voting booth and vote these same people into office that are stripping this country of our freedoms. And I get the, oh, what freedoms have you lost? Do you not remember the last 2 years when they said you couldn't go to a restaurant or a bar or a small business? Meanwhile, Walmarts and all the box stores stay open, liquor stores. But no, you don't dare. You can't go to a restaurant or a bar. Oh, and then when you did go to a bar, when they finally allowed you to, and I say that sarcastically, you go and you go into the bar with a mask on, and once you sit down, then you could take your mask off because suddenly the virus, you know, won't affect you. Oh, but if you went up to go to the bathroom, you got to wear a mask again. I mean, the stupidity that we put up with, and people are ready to do it again. I see people out here still wearing masks, thinking that it's going to save them somehow. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but God is the only one that's going to save you, number one. Number two, quit being such sheep. I'm convinced at this point, if they told you that you have to, you got to go to your local pool and you got to soak in that pool because of the chlorine will kill the germs, and you got to soak in that an hour a day, there's people that would be in there with a mask on soaking in the pool. That's how crazy this world, this country has become. Nobody can think for themselves anymore. They watch, they turn that TV on and don't even realize they call it programming for a reason. And, well, you've seen what happened with COVID. They nonstop, 24/7, And yeah, it's insane to me. I don't know what the hell's going on. Why people are so just, it's like they're sleeping. They don't want to know, you know, they don't want to know the truth because it's more comfortable with their heads buried in the sand. But I'm just waiting for Marie to call in now. And I know she was busy the last time I talked to her, so I'm hoping that she can make it work. If she can't, it's not the end of the world. I'll have her on next week or whatever. It's going to work best for her. And we'll get her on no matter what, sooner or later here. But she should be calling in any minute. I told her 6:05 because I wanted to do the introductions first and let you know kind of what we're going to talk about. And, you know, talk about, you know, this Michelle Grisham from New Mexico that thinks that because she's governor, she has the right, and she said it, that nothing in the Constitution is absolute. And when she said that, I immediately thought, you know what, that lady needs to be removed from office. She has no respect for the Constitution. She has no respect for anybody's rights or freedoms. It's all about control with these people. And unfortunately, a good majority of this is coming from the Democratic Party. I hate to be that guy that says that, but it's true. The people that are trying to do these unruly and unjust and unconstitutional measures, I'm sorry, but they happen to be from the Democratic Party. You look at Kristi Noem from South Dakota when COVID hit. She left it up to individual counties and cities, I believe is how it went. She said the state's not going to impose anything. There's no lockdowns. There's no mandates. But I remember the city of Sioux Falls made a mask mandate. And there was other cities that said, no, we're not going along with this. And so they didn't. And, yeah, and she happens to be Republican. Now, listen, I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat. As a matter of fact, I think the two-party system is set up against us to control each and every aspect of our lives, honestly. So I don't know what to say about that. It's very unfortunate. I pay attention to a lot of things, and you look at Gavin Newsom in California, Nancy Pelosi's district in San Francisco, their homeless population has skyrocketed. They made it legal, basically, to steal anything if it has less than $1,000 value, or $700 or something on that. I can't remember what the exact number is. But they made it legal to walk into a store and basically just shoplift without any repercussions. A lot of shops have shut their doors because they're getting stolen right out of business. Okay, I see Marie has called in here. Give me 2 seconds to let her get on here. And Marie, I am, I got you on live. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I was just saying to the audience before you called in, I said we had a nice conversation earlier, and I said to her, wait, whoa, let's have this conversation on air so people can hear who you are and what you're all about. And, I called you and I congratulated you when you got into the CMA. And how are you feeling about that news?
Well, it seems like a small thing to a lot of people, but to me it's really huge. And so I was on cloud 29 and I still am. I'm still running up there, you know, because I'm just a simple girl, you know. Truck driver, you know, I've been working at this for years, and I'm just now getting my break in, getting my shot, basically. But I want to do it differently. I don't want to be like everybody else. I ain't about the money. Never has been about that for me. Of course, I want to make my living and be able to retire, but it's just not about that.
It's about your music.
It's about the music. It's about sharing what I feel with the world. It's my emotions. It's my passion. Music has always been my passion. So that's what it's all about. It's about
and you wrote
getting
a
to
song,
do what I love to do.
You wrote a song, Marie, about truck driving and suicide. Explain what that song
right,
is about.
Yes. Well, it's basically a very uplifting, positive tune. And Stephen Myers, of course, from Truckers for Christ, he mentioned it to me one day about writing a suicide song for truckers, for the awareness and, you know, prevention of suicide amongst truckers. And so I didn't just write it for truckers, though. I mean, it is significantly based towards them, but I made it to where also it can be universal, you know, because everybody can relate to feeling down on their luck, to not seeing a light at the end of the tunnel. But, you know, and the song is basically saying there's many people out here that will be there for you. All you got to do is reach out, because everybody needs help once in a while. We can't always make it by ourselves. We can't always carry the heavy load alone. Sometimes we need to share it with someone, whether it be a total stranger or someone you've known forever. You need to share your load. You need to share your opinions. You need to share your feelings, your emotions. Sometimes all it takes is someone to listen and maybe offer an opinion at times.
And you just had your newest album drop. When did that drop, and what is that called?
Okay, so it dropped August 11th on all digital platforms, and it's called The Road Takes a Toll. And there is a song on it called The Road Takes Its Toll, so that being the title cut off of the album. And it's about life out here on the road.
And how many?
Yeah, from my point of view,
is this your second album, Marie, or is this how many albums do you have out now?
My second. Yeah, it's my second album.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You know, we were talking earlier about kind of like Oliver Anthony. You know, he was going to do a venue in Knoxville, Tennessee, and he found out that they were going to charge $60 a ticket. And he pulled over to the side of the road and canceled the venue. He said, no, you're not going to charge $60 a ticket. And they did an interview with him, and he said, I don't want anybody to spend over $25, but at the very most, $40. And me and you were talking about
right. That,
you know, when you get a little bit bigger and you start playing these venues in, you know, in a larger stage, about how you would like to
right. Keep
your ticket prices down. And
absolutely,
you had about the same... About the same amount was kind of where you were thinking, right around that $40 range. So
right. People
can come and
$40.
Afford to.
Yeah.
Yes. So they can come right. To afford to watch you, you know.
Right. And that would be for any seat in the house, not just the nosebleeds. Any seat in the house would not be more than $40. Because I would like to try and find a way that I can do the app myself to sell tickets rather than go through Ticketmaster or something like that, because of the fact that you don't have control over the prices of your tickets as an artist, and you can't control a scalper maybe buying your ticket and selling it for 10 times the amount they paid for it, or 20 times, or whatever, depending on how popular you are. And I'd like to stop that completely, you know. Because people shouldn't have to pay an arm and a leg to go have a good time, you know, and I want my tickets reasonably priced, and the meet and greet should be free. It should come with your package. If there's a meet and greet, it should be free. You shouldn't charge extra to have someone come up to you and talk to you and do an autograph or whatever, and maybe get a picture, whatever. Time is something that you can't put a price on. So if they
right. Spend
their money and they spend their time coming to see you, you can only do that much for them. You know what I'm saying? That's the least you can do, is say thank you for putting food on my
table.
Yeah,
no, and it,
thank you for supporting me as an artist, you know.
Right. And by the way, if you're listening to this through the internet and you want to get on air and ask Marie a question or say hi, you're more than welcome to call in and say hi. Like I always say, if you get disrespectful about anything, the phone line gets shut off. I'm not going to put up with that, especially for a guest. You can do it to me, but you can't do it to our guest. But that phone number is 516-387-1733, and you just got to press the number one once you get through on the hotline to the radio show. And that phone number, again, ladies and gentlemen, is 516-387-1733. And make sure that you press the number one. That makes me aware that you want to say something. So let's move on to, you have a record label that has recently contacted you. How mm-hmm. What's the story with that?
Well, I'm not going to share too much about that right away because I don't know the complete intels and the whole thing about that yet. So we're going to kind of hold off on I have been contacted, but yeah, and I'm going to consider whatever, offers that I get. But as far as really commenting on what it is as it is, because I really don't know yet. I'm still waiting for, the gist on that. So, but I am considering any offers. If someone, shoots me an offer or wants to talk to me about an offer, absolutely, certainly I will entertain anything, but that doesn't mean I'm going to accept, in the long run. But I am very open. I mean, because I've worked at this a long time. I've been doing this now for just over 5 years. And, it's been a very slow process and it's moved very slowly. And I don't want to do anything to set it backwards a lot more. Because now that it's moving forward, I'd like it to continue to move forward. And maybe at a quicker pace. of course I've been contacted. It's not the first time I've been contacted, but this one seems more promising. Let's just put it that way. It seems like more legitimate, more promising. But like I said, I don't want to speak too much on that because I don't really know what the deal is and, if there's going to be a deal in the end, honestly. So rather than speak on it too much.
When I called you that night after dinner to congratulate you on getting into the CMA, one of the first things you told me is, I'm not going to sell my soul to the devil. And
I'm not,
exactly
what I meant.
Yeah, I so respect that opinion and that thought. And I wanted the audience to hear, this is who Marie Norris is. I met her down in Louisville, Kentucky at the truck show. I got an opportunity to hang out. What did we hang out for? Like maybe an hour? We had to go get some stuff.
Oh, yeah,
and we got a
yeah.
car ride from you and your friend. Yeah, so we talked about different stuff and really a good person and a down-to-earth person. And I wanted the audience to get that chance to see who the real Marie Norris is and to promote her stuff because I want her to succeed.
And
where
like
do
I said,
people find
then,
your music?
Oh, okay. Spotify. I'm on all digital platforms, Spotify, YouTube, Pandora, Deezer, Tidal. I'm on all of those, whatever floats your boat, YouTube, any of that, whatever floats your boat, I'm on them. And you can access my music through any of those. Of course, streaming is absolutely free. If you want to support the artist, my music is available on iTunes, in the purchase form. And also, it will be available on my website. I haven't had the chance to update it yet because I can't seem to get it to update right now. But it will be available. The new album and all that will be available on the website as well as soon as I can get it to update. And, of course,
and
my website has all of the new info.
And that's under Marie Norris Music. Is that correct?
MarieNorris-Music.com.
Okay, there we go. So I just wanted you to get that out there. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. We have that two-second delay on here. It sucks. It kills me every week because people think I'm trying to over-talk them, and I'm like, no, I'm not trying to. I'm sorry.
No, and I understand the two-second delay.
Yeah, it sucks.
Sorry, I keep talking over you because of it.
No, I know how this works too. So we just got to deal with it. It sucks, but we can do it. But when I first met you down there in Kentucky, you were going to say something, and I cut you off there with where can people find you.
Yeah. Okay, so I had originally said, you know, that I wasn't going to be outspoken and all that stuff, and that I wasn't going to say how I truly feel because, you know, I am in the public eye. More so than most people, and you know, I'm still human, and I have my points of view, and I believe the way that I believe, and quite frankly, you know, I'm tired of keeping my mouth shut, but I don't want to go too far because there's certain things that you just don't discuss, because you will be ridiculed and you will be talked down by the public. Sometimes it works out in your favor, and sometimes it doesn't. So, but you know. I'm tired. I see what's going on, and I get the brunt of it, trust me, being a woman, being in this industry. Some people still don't like that we are in this industry and that we do our jobs just as well as the men. And then there are, you know, people that think we don't belong anywhere, honestly, because we're women. And I deal with that all the time because I'm female. And we've been dealing with this since the beginning of time, you know. It hasn't changed much, sadly, you know, being a woman. It hasn't changed, you know. She's supposed to be seen, not heard kind of thing. So, you know, and I'm tired of just being seen and being pretty and not heard. So.
I completely understand. I've seen guys out here, and I've seen how they've treated lady drivers and you know, just even coming to the music industry, you've got the stack stacked against you because, well, you're a girl. Oh, you're a truck driver. Oh, yeah. Well, but she sings very well. So, I mean, can we just focus on what she does well? You know, let's not put her down because she's a woman. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, no, I'm glad that you were able to come
matter.
On tonight.
Yeah, it doesn't matter about your looks. It doesn't matter about where you're from. It doesn't matter about any of that. It's the person inside always that counts. So, you know, I don't see myself as a horrible person. You know, I mean, maybe somebody else does, and maybe I've given them a reason, which I did not mean to. I never meant to hurt anyone's feelings intentionally. But, you know, I'm not going to sit here and not live my life to the fullest and get what's coming to me because someone else thinks I shouldn't. Or
well, let me tell
sell
you,
my soul to the devil, the, as know, we said before.
Yeah. Let me tell you something, too. That everything that I've been through, and I kind of gave you my best advice when I called you that night, being standing up, going to different capitals and going to Washington, D.C., and the People's Convoy and everything that I've done, I'm always met with criticism. And people need to remember, there is always going to be somebody that does not like what you're doing. Always. Whether it's jealousy or because they, whatever, it doesn't matter. That people always have an opinion. I've learned through this process that I don't give two shits what people think about me. I'm doing it because I care about something. I do it because I want to do it. I'm not doing it to push anything onto you. And if you don't like what I'm doing, bug off. I don't care. I just don't care what people think about me. And I know that, like, you're more in the public eye and are trying to make a career out of this, and which I was never trying to make a career out of, you know, being an advocate. But as somebody that's trying to make a career out of it, yeah, you kind of do have that where you got to watch yourself. Or you just flip the lid and go all controversial, and people are going to follow you anyway. It's, you know, it's one personal choice, but I respect the way you're handling it, and I think you're well on your way, Marie.
And I feel the same myself. For the first time in the whole time that I've been doing this. It's been a long road, but I see a light at the end of the tunnel. I see my time coming. It, you know, even though I'm 42 years old, you know, I just turned 42 last month. And, you know, even if I was still in my 20s, I would still feel the same as I do now, only I'm much more mature in my decision-making now than I was then. But, you know, I think I will handle it much better as you know, being the 42-year-old Marie as opposed to the 22-year-old Marie. You know, I'm not as eager to accept the first thing that comes my way because I have been burned in the past by people, and I'm very cautious about who I let into my circle and about who I do deals with. I'm very cautious to, in a sense, even with personal friends that I allow into my life, especially now, you know, because you never know who's standing there just waiting to stab you in the back. And just
oh, yeah, everybody's got an angle.
Oh, yeah. And it's always about the almighty dollar, and it's never been totally about that for me. You know, of course I want to make enough to retire on and live comfortably and to do the things I desire to do and to be able to do the thing that I've loved doing my whole life, which is my music. I want to be able to do my music as long as I possibly can before. And I will never retire completely. I'm always going to be behind the scenes somewhere even after I'm not performing anymore. I will be behind the scenes helping other artists and writing songs because I'm pretty good at it. So
I would have to,
you know,
have
you ain't
to agree.
Get rid of me.
So, ladies and gentlemen, go check out Marie Norris-Music .com. And Marie Norris all over the internet. You can find her on Facebook. You can find her on YouTube, on Spotify. Go check out her music. You might find it. Hey, wow, she is a good talent. Marie, thank you so much for coming on the radio show tonight and sharing your exciting news of being let into the CMA. And I think that's a wonderful thing for you. And I'm just excited for you standing on the sidelines watching what's going to happen from here. And so thank you so much for coming on tonight, Marie.
Oh, and I appreciate you having me. It's been awesome. It always is. It's always a pleasure.
All right. I will stay in contact with you, and if we get any new news with you, we'll have you on again, and you can share that live with the audience. So, again, Marie, thank you so much, and I will talk to you soon.
All right, we'll talk soon. Thank you so much again for having me on.
You're welcome. Okay, see you later. All right, everybody, that was Marie Norris. Marie Norris Music dash, or, I'm sorry, Marie Norris-Music.com. Otherwise, just look up Marie Norris, kind of like Chuck Norris, but she's a female Chuck Norris version. Like she'll sing you good country songs while she beats you up. No, I'm just kidding. No, but that's how you spell her last name, N-O-R-R-I-S, Marie Norris. But, yes, we sure appreciate her coming on and sharing that exciting news. That's just amazing. Like she said, she's been working at this for years, and she's finally going to get her chance, hopefully. And I wish her nothing but the best. So let's move on to a different subject tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I was kind of talking about it before Marie called in. And I mentioned it in the description of this radio show tonight. What's happening in this country? The Democratic governor of New Mexico, Michelle Grisham, she issued a suspension on firearm carry laws to create what she called a cooling-off period for authorities to address solutions to the state's high rates of gun crime after several children were shot dead in recent weeks. Well, newsflash, lady, and anybody else of these Democratic governors that want to be tyrants, gun deaths have happened for centuries. They've become more politicized and probably a little bit more mainstream because what people don't understand and what the Democrats don't understand is your gun laws are doing nothing for the criminals. They, in case you haven't noticed, criminals don't listen to laws. That's why they call them a criminal. Now, you're restricting legal, law-abiding gun owners' rights by saying you can't carry no more because there are too many other shootings. The shootings weren't done by law-abiding criminals or law-abiding citizens. They were done by criminals. So why in the hell do you think you have the right to supersede the Constitution by creating this bullshit emergency rule? And she put it out for 30 days. Well, there's good news, ladies and gentlemen. There's still a decent judge in our system that seen what the law is, and he put a temporary hold on it until there's more court hearings. And she will not get by with this. But U.S. District Court Judge David Urias said that the governor's 30-day suspension of concealed and open firearm carry rights in Albuquerque and its surrounding county went against a landmark U.S. Supreme Court ruling that people had the right to carry a gun outside their homes for self-defense. That was the whole point of the Second Amendment when our forefathers wrote it, that you have the right to protect your home, your family, yourself. That was the whole point. And now this crazy lady from New Mexico thinks she's going to come in and say, nope, you're not allowed to do that because children got killed by a gun. I genuinely am sorry that children got killed by a gun. It makes me feel absolutely horrible. No child, no parent should ever have to bury their child, no matter the reason of whatever happened, whether it's a car accident or a gun death. But they haven't given two shits about these gun deaths up until recently when they started talking about restricting our gun rights. Now we got to ban assault weapons. AR-15s is a military-grade weapon. No, it's not. They don't use AR-15s in war. Oh, unless, of course, you send them to Ukraine, you know, then it's okay. But this is the problem with our society. They listen to the media. They listen to these tyrannical governors that get in a position of power. They think they could just tell everybody how you should live your life. It doesn't work that way. That's why we have freedom. That's why we have the Constitution. That's why we're the freest country in the world. Well, I don't know if we are anymore because they continue to restrict our rights. And it honestly, it just pisses me off to no end, honestly. I really just get, like, these people are fucking out of control. This Kathy Hochul from New York State. I mean, you got Democratic mayors now in these big cities screaming for help from the federal government. We're overrun by illegal aliens. We're overrun. We can't handle it. Federal government sits back and says, well, what do you want us to do about it? How about if every quarter mile, you quit cutting holes in our border fence, every quarter mile they cut holes in the border fence. And you know what their excuse was? Migrating deer, migrating antelope, or some bullshit like that. You go out to these holes where they cut, there is no deer tracks. You know what's there? Footprints, contraband from the cartels. Our southern border, they're allowing us to be invaded right as we speak. 9 million illegals? Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I mean, how do you, as a Democrat, how can you still support that party? I'm not saying you should go to the Republican Party, because honestly, there's a lot of them in the Republican Party that are just as evil. I mean, look at Mitch McConnell. That guy, he stands up in the podium. They'll ask him a question. He'll say two words, and all of a sudden he just freezes up, and he just looks at you. The guy's 80-some years old. Why is he in politics? Why is he representing anything? And you got a president that can't even walk up a fucking flight of stairs without tripping. He can't form a sentence. I watched him the other day. His people actually cut off his press conference, said, okay, we're done here, ladies and gentlemen, because he started going off into some ramble. The guy is not right in the head. There's no way he's running this country right now. And you cannot change my mind on that. There is absolutely no way he is making any decisions about this country right now. It's just not possible. The guy... go give him an ice cream cone. You know, let him go sit in the corner. And it's, why don't you just rip the mask off of who's really running the country? Obama? Clinton? Who is it? The deep state? Well, we know. It's the establishment government. The deep state that we all talk about, the Uniparty. It's all one big club, and we're not in it. That's what's happening right before your eyes, ladies and gentlemen. It's so frustrating to watch it. But I did watch the Freedom Caucus, I think it was today, had a press conference. A bunch of congressmen talking about, not funding the Biden administration anymore because they refused to fix the borders. They refused to close the borders. Major U.S. cities are being overrun by illegal immigration. And listen, I'm not against anybody immigrating. I'm not against anybody. There's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. That's why we have laws. But laws don't apply to Democrats because they don't give a shit about it. And honestly, screw the Republicans too, because what are you waiting so long? You're going to wait almost 3 years now before you did something about it? Jesus H. This isn't, it's common sense. When you start having a problem, you put your foot down and say, okay, hey, no, we're not doing that. I don't give a shit who's president. When they're invading our country, for God's sake, do something about it. But, hey, at least they're trying to do something now. Nothing probably will get done, but kind of like Hunter Biden being indicted on gun charges, you know. I see I got a caller here. Give me 1 second here. 5988, I'm going to bring you on. 5988. All right, you're
Hi,
on
Jeremy.
Live on air. Who is this? Oh, hey, Susie.
This is Susie. So you got me fired up a little bit talking about immigration. You just made a remark that, you know, you're not against anybody. And while I agree with that sentiment, in a sense, I would challenge any Democrat in this country, anyone who is pro-open borders, pro-refugee programs, mass refugee programs, I would love for them to come spend one month in my little bitty town in Tennessee, because it is despicable what is going on in our neighborhoods and our school systems. They have taken over. We have more things in our town for illegals than we do for the American citizens. Are crowded because of the illegal, the anchor babies who are flooding our school systems, that we literally cannot build schools fast enough to keep them from being overpopulated at this point. And these are the things nobody wants to talk about.
No, and I'm glad you called and shared
that
with us, because in that,
on top of that, Jeremy, you've got our government bringing refugees here from Somalia, from Egypt, from all these different countries, and putting them to work in a local factory. And I'll name it Tyson Foods, because I refuse to buy a thing that they sell. I won't buy a thing that comes out of Tyson Foods, because they get half of their wages paid by the federal government, and Tyson gets to pay the other half, and they also get a tax break for bringing these refugees into this factory. So now we've got that problem as well, because now you're letting Americans do without a job to give these refugees jobs. And while I understand their plight, and yes, I feel bad that these people feel like they have to flee their country, but the answer is not flooding small towns in America with people when we can't support the people who are already here.
It's, you know, honestly, I've been thinking about that a lot, and I think some of this has to do with Agenda 2030. What do we do? We flood these smaller communities, take Americans' jobs away, so we force them to move into the bigger cities, which that's what they want, because they want smart cities. And there's a lot of governors and mayors that have signed on to this. It's already happening in Canada. They're starting to do it here. And anybody that doesn't know what a smart city is, you live in a part of a city, and it's barricaded off, all the way around you, it's barricaded off. You're not allowed to leave. But everything that you need, your job, your food, everything you need is within a 15-minute walking distance of where you live. And they'll have all these houses or all these towns or cities cordoned off into sections. And each section will be part of this 15-minute city. And you're only allowed to go out so often. You're not allowed to own a vehicle in these 15-minute cities because you don't need one. This is what their plan is. It's an evil agenda, and it's worth the World Economic Forum, but I think this plays into it. It makes sense. The fact that they're coming in and taking American jobs, this president, he should be tried for treason, and he should get the death penalty. And that's my opinion, by the way. It is just absolutely mind-blowing that I hear that he's got a 30% approval rating. Who the fuck, what part of the 30% of this population are still supporting this moron? Like, you want to convince me we have 340 million people in this country, and you're going to try to convince me that like, 100 million of them still support this douchebag? Like, I don't even have words. Like, what?
There's no way.
Good news, Susie.
There's no way.
I'm going to keep you on the line so you can comment on the stuff that I'm reading too, if you want to.
I'm good.
Okay, cool. I want to bring this news to everybody too, because this broke today. So the Gateway Pundit got together with Missouri and Louisiana, and they sued Biden's White House and the FBI. Because they were colluding with big tech, Facebook, Twitter, to suppress the speech of millions of Americans. I happen to be one of them. Every account that I have, I say the wrong thing, you know, telling how big a tyrants they are, and my account's banned, gone, done. I have to jump through hoops to get it back or to start a new one and then rebuild my audience. And my Facebook, I'm sure, is going to get banned too, because I'm starting to get a lot of followers on there, and they don't like that. But so they sued the Biden White House and the FBI. It's called the Missouri and Louisiana and the Gateway Pundit versus Biden First Amendment lawsuit. So sources sent Gateway Pundit a copy of an unfiled legal document the Department of DOJ appears to have leaked to the friendly press. Yeah, friendly my ass. The document is a draft motion to stay to be filed at the U.S. Supreme Court. The draft motion asks that the Supreme Court to stay or halt last week's ruling by Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. There, the government had asked the Court of Appeals to reverse Judge Terry Doughty's United States District Court of the District of Louisiana preliminary injunction, court order forcing government to stop. They wanted to – they'll check this out. Now, I want you to listen to this. The Biden government asked the Supreme Court to stop the injunction that states that the Biden administration and the FBI needs to stop violating our First Amendment right, free speech. The government asked the courts to stop that. Can you believe that shit? But now the Supreme Court is actually going to hear this case in front of the world against the Biden White House and the FBI. What do you think about that, Susie?
I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. You would hope that it got somewhere, but I don't – look, with the way our courts and our justice system are being used at this point in time in America – I don't have much faith in any of it. I'm just being honest here. And everyone says, yeah, but, you know, Trump put some good conservative judges in the Supreme Court, you know. Yeah. Well, of course, but we all know I am a conservative to the core. And I would love to believe in the system. But how does one believe in the system? How? How do we keep faith in a system that we can all clearly see is so broken and so, what's the word I'm looking for, Jeremy? Help me out here. Biased.
Corrupt.
By corrupt. They're bought and paid for. how I feel about it, they are bought and paid for. And how is that ever going to fix anything?
Well, I don't think
you're
going to regain
people's...
You're not going to gain people's trust. No, you're not going to gain people's trust in the system until you start seeing people held accountable. And by that, I mean the Bidens. So, well, we could start with the Bidens. We can go all the way back to fuck the Clintons. I just watched the Clinton Chronicles this last week. And that guy, holy Lord, you want to talk about corrupt. That guy had a problem with he's a sex addict, basically. When he was governor for 12 years of Arkansas, he had over 100 women, over 100, that accused him of numerous sexual assaults and different things.
Yep.
And while he was governor of Arkansas, you all heard of the Iran-Contra scandal, right? So it turns out that according to these files, that Governor Bill Clinton at the time was deeply involved with MENA, Arkansas, where they were flying cocaine in and using MENA, Arkansas as a drop point. And they were, I mean, we're talking millions and millions and millions of dollars. And the mainstream media wouldn't pick up the story. That told me right then, this was 1994, ladies and gentlemen. MENA, Arkansas happened in 1983, I believe, or 84, somewhere around in there. We're talking over a decade of cocaine drops going on right in people's backyards. And the media refused to pick up the story. That told me right there, our media is the enemy of the people. It's not telling you the truth. They don't want you to know the truth. They're covering for people and they're protecting people. And it started long before Clinton. But this is where I look back, and our government really got corrupt after Clinton, after Bush, after Obama, after Biden. Trump was the only one that I can see clearly looking back in the last 2 to 3 decades of somebody that was actually trying to straighten this mess out, the corruption, and bring down the house.
What does it all boil down to? It all boils down to greed. And the thing is, look, I said it the last time I spoke with you on the show. We have to tear this in, because when you were just talking about the cocaine drop, I literally live in a small town. There was a judge in this town. He's gone. He's passed from this life and gone on to whatever came next for him. Him and one of the lawyers, who is also gone now, literally had a private airfield in our little town where they were bringing in cocaine, and it was no secret in this town. Everyone knew. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to say the lawyer's last name, but I will tell you his first name that he was referred to by everyone in our town was Snorton. So if that tells you anything, everyone knew. And we literally... That's why I say any elected position in this country, any position that people are putting their confidence in you to run as a public servant, you are a public servant, should not come with no limits. They should all have limits. I don't care if you are the sheriff, the mayor, the councilman. You should not be able to sit in that seat as a public servant until your dementia has set in and you're literally having someone else tell you in your ear what you need to say. That is a problem.
Problem. And ladies and gentlemen, so Susie lives in a small town in Tennessee. MENA, Arkansas is just a small little town in Arkansas. This is just two communities. If you realized how absolutely corrupt our whole system is from the top to the bottom, it would make your blood boil. It would make you, what it did to me when I started finding out about a lot of this stuff and I started doing my own independent research, and I'm like, holy shit, this isn't just isolated to one area. This is our whole country. Who do you think, like the Arizona, they've got proof that Carrie Lake was cheated out of that governorship. And this crazy woman that's in there now, you don't think that she works for the cartels? They've got proof of it. Her and a bunch of Democrats nationwide have been taking money from the cartels. Human trafficking is one of the biggest ones. Like, ladies and gentlemen, we are in deep shit in this country. We have corrupt people in government positions, positions of power, county sheriffs, local police, highway patrol, FBI, CIA, you name it. People that are corrupt to the very core of them running our country and filling their back pockets while they give the big middle finger to the American people. That's a fact. Boy, got me all wound up now.
And the problem is, well, here's the problem, Jeremy. If more people would get wound up, if more people would get more passionate and get more involved, we could stop this insanity. The definition of insanity, everyone knows it. It's doing the same thing over and over repeatedly and expecting a different outcome. The only way we change anything at this point is for enough Americans. I don't care what you label yourself, whether you label yourself as white, black, Hispanic, homosexual, lesbian. I don't care. This affects every single one of us, no matter whether we're conservative, liberal, somewhere in the middle. It does not matter. It affects everyone. And you're not going to tell me that Democrats, liberals in this country aren't feeling the same pains that red-blooded patriots in this country are feeling. And I'm sorry, I know some Democrats are patriots too. I'm not being fair there, but I'm frustrated. Because
we all are, Susie.
I went to pick my grandson up from school recently. And when I tell you, I pulled up to this school. He changed schools this year. I pulled up to this school, and out of all of the children there, there were a ton of children. My grandson and one other child, only two Caucasian children. There were no black children. All the other children were Hispanic. That is a problem. And like I said, if they came here legally, fine. But that's not the case, and we all know it's not the case. You can come.
And
your
federal tax dollars, your tax money that you pay to the federal government, is being used for this. It's literally being used for this.
Yes. It brought our median household income in our county, then brought all the way down to $20,000. And for people who don't understand the way things work in your cities and in your towns and your counties, a lot of businesses look at that median household income to determine whether or not they want to place a business in your area. So the lower that median household income is, the less chance that you're going to have in your town to get a Publix or, you know, a nicer restaurant or you name it. So, because here's the thing, Jeremy, you and I both know, these guys aren't working and paying taxes the way we do. They are, hold on just a second.
No, this it's absolutely insane. they get all these benefits from the federal government, no taxes and free phones and free this and free that, all off of our back, all off of our blood, sweat, and tears. And yet we still sit back and, oh, well, what can I do about it?
Well,
quit paying your taxes.
I mean, hey.
Fuck them.
I'm not going to say what I was going to say because I'm incriminating myself. We'll talk about that privately. anyway, but, I mean, you just think about this. So one of the things that Tennessee did, and and in our town in particular, certain areas, because of the median household income, they started, you know, all schools have always had like a free and reduced lunch program for underprivileged children, which has always been a great thing in my opinion, because, you know, it's not a kid's fault if they can't, their parents can't afford to buy their lunch. Well, because of how low our income levels have become in our little town, now all kids get free breakfast and lunch. All kids. No matter, nobody pays for their food at school. That alone, you think about what that's costing taxpayers all by itself.
Yeah. It's really bad.
That many
kids. It's really, really bad.
Well, and here's the thing, that if you don't live in an area, what really is ironic to me is these big cities jumping up and down, screaming and hollering because they can't handle all of these, this influx of illegals that are coming into their cities. Well, what effect do you think that has on a small town? What effect? If it affects New York City and Manhattan that way, how do you think it affects my life? You know, and the crime.
And it's soon to come to your community too, ladies and gentlemen. If
you
think this is isolated, I don't have to deal with it. What's that?
Right. Do you have mobile patrol where you live? It's an app on our
police
phone.
Cars?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't know what that
is. It's an app on our phone. So it's an app that you put on your phone and you type in your zip code and it'll show you everyone who's been arrested and whoever's been arrested in the last day or so or whatever. How much time?
We have like a jail roster on the internet that we can go look at.
I gotcha. Well, we have this app and we can put this in on any given day. You go on there and look at how many inmates are literally illegal. So that tells you that it's not that they don't know that they're here. They know they're here. We had a guy, it's been a couple of years ago, they were running an illegal rodeo, is what I would call it. And they were serving alcohol. And he got really, really drunk at this rodeo. And he was driving down a highway and hit and killed a 19-year-old young lady, killed her. Well, they took him to the hospital as well. Well, the hospital happens to be very liberal-minded. It's in a bigger city. It's a university hospital. They literally discharged this guy before the police could get there to arrest him. And so guess what? This girl's family never got closure because they'll never find him now. Because by now he's got a new set of papers. He's got a new life. He's in a new town. It could be yours. Who knows?
Let me just say this.
We deal with.
Liberalism is a mental disease, whether you want to admit it or not. I don't care if you want to call yourself a Democrat. I used to be a Democrat. Then I seen what the hell that party was doing, because it's not the same Democratic Party if JFK was. And I don't know what happened, but they've lost their fucking minds, honestly. But I don't care if you want to call yourself a Democrat or a Republican. I'm just here to tell you that this both two-party systems is they're fucking killing America. And there's really, I know there's good people on the Democrat side that are legislators, and I know there are in the Republican side too, but there's a good majority of them that are corrupt and bought and paid for by big pharma and special interest groups all across this world, BlackRock, Vanguard, you name it. They're getting their bank accounts, like, just, they come into office not owning shit, not have a pot to piss in, and when they leave office 8, 10, 12, 15 years later, whatever it is, they're multimillionaires on a $130,000 a year salary. How is that?
Yeah.
Oh, they're good investors.
And
they're not good investors. What they're doing is insider trading.
Exactly.
Christ, so freaking frustrating. But My time is up, Susie. I've got to go. Yeah, thank you for joining and sharing your opinion. I really appreciate it, Susie.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Oh, yeah, you too. See you. All right, everybody. That's my friend Susie. Good people. I met her and her husband in Indianapolis, and we've become pretty good friends. They're just really good people. Yeah, it's 7 o'clock. I like to keep my shows right around an hour. You know, I didn't know how tonight was going to go with Marie, and I really got through the stuff I wanted to talk about tonight. There's so much stuff happening in the news that it's almost impossible to stay on top of. But I don't know. You just got to keep on keeping on. But anyway, I'm going to end this episode of Jeremy's View, which is the 5th episode by myself. Remember to go check out Bikerson and Gibbs on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Central on the same channel, same phone number to call in, 516-387-1733. Their show is called Distracted. And on Tuesday nights, you can join me and Travis Bull Johnson, who is the chair of the Constitutional Republic Party in Minnesota, and I sit on the executive board at large for the Constitutional Republic Party. And that show starts at 6 p.m., same phone number, same network, 516-387-1733 is the call-in number for all three shows. And that show on Tuesday nights is called The Constitutionalist. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights, Tuesday and Thursdays are 6 p.m., Wednesdays 7 p.m. Central Time, all of this is. Make sure you go check them out. And you may like Bikerson and Gibbs' radio show more than mine, and that is perfectly fine and awesome. I strongly encourage you to check them all out. Listen to the ones that you like, and maybe you'll like all three of them. Maybe you won't. Maybe you hate all of them. I don't know. But you have options anyway. Patriot Network, and all the shows are recorded, so you can go back and listen to all the other episodes, the Disrespected Trucker radio show, all of them. They're all recorded. You just type in the Patriot Network in Blog Talk Radio search bar. So you go to blogtalkradio.com, type in the Patriot Network, and you'll get every one of our shows. Distracted, The Constitutionalist, Jeremy's View, the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. We have like 87 episodes of them. I mean, there's a lot to look at, listen to, I should say. Let me just end this episode of Jeremy's View, and I appreciate each and every one of you that listen. And hopefully I can bring you a better show each and every week. And that's all I can do. I'm just a person just here to inform you about what's going on. So with that being said, thank you all. I hope you all have a blessed week, and God bless each and every one of you.